Welcome to another eye-opening episode of Revealing the Truth About Islam, the radio show that shines the light of truth into the darkness of Islam. Exposing the lies of Muhammad, exposing the errors in the Quran. It's Revealing the Truth About Islam. And now, here's your host, author, conference speaker, and Islamic expert, Usama Dakdar.
And hello and greetings to you in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is our joy, as always, to have you with us as we continue our study of commentaries on the Quran. Today, we will finish our study for our commentary on Quran chapter 7. Imagine with me, Allah's word is written to show that His curse is on the Jews, and now all the Muslims who believe in the Quran must also hate the Jews. After all, if Allah cursed somebody, that means Allah hated that somebody, which means the rest of the Muslims also must hate whom Allah hates. That story is actually written in Quran chapter 7, beginning from verse 163 to 166. And the story goes as follows. And asked them about the village which was present by the sea, when they transgressed on the Sabbath, that is Saturday, when their wells came to them, appearing openly on the Sabbath day, and that day they did not have Sabbath, they, their wells, did not come to them. Likewise, we tempted them because they were transgressors. Now we move to verse 166, and there we read, so when they revolted against what they were forbidden to do, we said to them, become despised monkeys. This is an amazing made-up story, obviously, in the Quran. Why do I say that? It's not because we don't believe in the Quran, but because that never happened. If an entire village turned from human to monkeys, trust me, from the days of Moses until today, this story would be mentioned by many historians. Or more than that, Moses himself will write about it. Don't forget, Moses wrote to us about what happened in Adam's days and in Noah's days, what happened in Sodom and Gomorrah. And Moses wrote to us the rest of the biblical account of things happened hundreds of years before Moses. But why in the world don't we have any access to this information anywhere? Not in the Bible, not in even any secular history. Amazingly, Muhammad can get away with so many fabricated stories he put in the Quran because simply no one will investigate or question whatever he put in his Quran. So now let us examine the interpretation of these verses by Muslim scholars. And once again, to prove that this is a made-up story, you will not find any solid information from Muslim scholars. So they will tell us in their interpretation, اختلفوا في القرية, which means they disagree about what village. Excuse me, you're writing to me an interpretation to verses of the Quran about specific Jewish people who live in specific village, but you, the scholars of Islam, do not know which village? Yes, indeed. That's exactly what we read in their interpretation, which, by the way, it is no more or less but simply fabrication to help Muhammad to make sense out of that which is written in the Quran. Here we go. Faqila, mean it was said, it is between Egypt and the city of Medina and Morocco. Imagine with me how extensive that piece of land you're talking about between Egypt and the city of Medina, which is 210 miles north of Mecca, and Morocco, which is the end of the ocean of the Mediterranean Sea in West Africa. You're talking about thousands of miles. Where is that village? They do not know. But listen to other opinion by so-called Muslim scholars. And it was said it is between Medin and the mountain. Medin is the city on the top of the Gulf of Aqaba of the Red Sea and some mountain. Which mountain? We do not know. But listen to what the Muslim scholar of Islam Al-Zuhairi, he said it is actually in Tabariya in the Levant. But they also have many other opinions. I'm not going to waste your time or my time to talk about that. And it says there that their hitan, their whales, that's exactly what we read in Quran chapter 7, verse 163. The word there is hoot, which means whale. When in reality, all other English translators who translated the Quran, they put the word fish, which is in the Arabic language, samak. Samak is not hoot, and hoot is not samak. Samak is fish, hoot is whale. Allah in the Quran used whale, and Muslim scholars who interpret the verses of the Quran in the Arabic language use the word whale. Somehow, when they translate it to English, they fix it up to make a little bit more sense because, you know, people do not catch whales, but people catch fish. After all, that is the logic for anyone who have common sense. So it says that their whales only appear to them in the water with a large number. Literally, that is big pod of whales following one after another. And this only happened on the Sabbath day. Now, Muslim scholars will tell us that the Jewish people were commanded to keep the Friday a holy day. But they rejected that and they did not do it. And they chose for themselves the Sabbath, Saturday. So now they are tempted by it. And that is when Allah orders them to make it a holy day. And he forbids them from doing any work in it. And he also forbids them from catching fish on that day. But when Allah desired to tempt them, the whales only came to them on the Sabbath as they were looking at the sea. So when the Sabbath is gone, meaning Sunday came, all the whales were gone away. Not even one stayed in the water. And they will not come back until the following Sabbath, the following Saturday. So Satan whispered in their ears and he said, catch them. So they caught them on the Sabbath. Qatada, the great Muslim scholar, said, when they did what they were forbidden to do, Allah cursed them, and they became despised monkeys. After they used to be just simply men and women. This is the interpretation of so-called the great Muslim scholar Al-Tabari to Quran chapter 7 and verse 163. And here we must say, God forbid that he may ever tempt any one of his servants. God will not tempt his own chosen people, the Jews, with evil. As we know from the word of God in the book of James, chapter 1 and verse 13, let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. This is what the Bible teaches. As a matter of fact, I can use Quran chapter 7 and verse 163 to prove to our dear Muslim friends that Allah who tempted the Jewish people by bringing these whales or these fish only on the Sabbath to make them sin against him cannot be anyone but Satan. As we know from the rest of the teaching of the Quran, for he is the one who desires to fill hell with human and jinn, as we see that in Quran chapter 7 verse 18 and Quran chapter 11 verse 119, there are plenty of verses assured us that Allah, the God of Muhammad, does not want people to be saved. Also, we know from the Quran that he is the best deceiver. See Quran chapter 3 verse 54 and Quran chapter 8 verse 30. And also, he is the one who lead people astray, as we read in Quran chapter 35 and verse 8. Man, oh man, believe me, my friends, the more we study about Allah in the Quran, the more we know for certain that he is nothing but Satan. For everything about his character does not fit with the true character of God in the Bible. Let me share with you just one quick verse here from 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9 to see why Jesus did not come back yet. It is the opposite of Allah's desire in the Quran. In the Bible we read, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. In simple words, Jesus did not come back yet because he's waiting for one more lost person to come to know Him as Lord and Savior, that that one person will make it to heaven. It's the opposite of that in the Quran, because Allah made the promise from the beginning of the creation that He will fill hell with human and jinn. He's waiting for the last person He would love to see in eternity in hell, and then that's when Allah will end life in this world. My friend, this is a great contrast between the true God of the Bible and Allah, the Satan of Muhammad.
Have you always wanted to read exactly what the Quran teaches, but didn't know which translation you could trust? Most English versions of the Quran have glossed over many of the troubling passages and sugar-coated the violent and immoral teachings written within Islam's holiest book. After years of careful translation, with assistance from scholars around the globe, the Straight Way of Grace Ministry is pleased to offer the single most accurate modern English version of the Quran ever produced. This study Quran is packed with valuable resources such as detailed study notes for the reader, comments and references regarding the many errors and contradictions in the Quran, careful comparisons with biblical accounts borrowed and corrupted by Muhammad, information regarding the original sources that Muhammad adopted, highlights of non-Arabic words and idioms within the text of the Quran, a detailed table of biblical prophecies about Jesus, and a clear presentation of the evidence for the Bible with a powerful gospel invitation. This modern English translation will equip you with the knowledge you need to reach those lost in the darkness of Islam. Visit us online at www.thestraightway.org to order your copy today. Case discounts are also available. The Straight Way of Grace Ministry travels all across the United States to speak to churches and organizations with captivating and media-rich presentations on a wide variety of topics. Please contact us at 941-223-1703. And now, back to our show.
Now, to prove to you what we're talking about here is true, that in the Quran, we'll see in the following verse that Allah chose from the beginning of the creation for some of Adam's descendants to be for eternity in hell and for the others to be in the paradise of Islam. And that is what we read in Quran chapter 7 and verse 172, which read as follow: "And when your Lord took from the children of Adam their descendants from their backs and made them to testify against themselves, 'Am I not your Lord?' They said, 'Yes, we testified.' Yet you should say on the resurrection day, 'Surely we were unaware of that.'" When you read the verse by itself, it does not actually tell you much. But listen to what Sa'id ibn Jarir, that great Muslim scholar who told us exactly what happened when Allah created Adam. It said that Allah actually took the descendants of Adam from his back, which, by the way, that's a long study we talked about in the past, that that's where baby started, from the nutfah, which is the fluid come from the back of men. And then he make them to two different groups, some on the right hand, and he said to them, "You go to paradise in peace." And then the other, he said, "And you enters the fire, and I do not care." Imagine with me, that is exactly what Allah said in the Quran. He chose from the beginning, after He created Adam, who will make it to paradise and who will end in the fire. And the amazing thing when He said, "Wala ubali," and I do not care. This is not my interpretation, but that is what stated by the great Muslim scholar Al-Tabari. Does this make any sense to you? Is this the true God of the Bible? He could care less about some people to spend eternity in hell? Obviously, the answer is not. That is who we know in the Bible to be Satan. Now let's move on to verse 171. "For there we read, 'And when we raised the mountain over them, as if they had been a shadow, and they thought it was falling on them, take what we give to you with strength, and remember what is in it.'" perhaps you may fear. Once again, it's amazing that Allah used the word perhaps, because Allah, obviously, the God of Muhammad, does not know what is coming. Similar to that, let us read Quran chapter 4 and verse 154. And we uplifted the mountain above them with their covenant, and we said to them, enter the door worshiping. And we said to them, do not transgress on the Sabbath. And we took from them a thick covenant, meaning a firm covenant. Now, let me share with you what the great Muslim scholar Al-Khadin said in part 2. As the people with knowledge said that when the children of Israel refused to accept the command of the Torah because the heart commands in it, Allah ordered Angel Jibreel. So he lifted up a great mountain, and that mountain became above their head, like a covering above their heads. So when they looked up to the mountain above them, they worship Allah, putting their head down on the ground. So each and every one of them leaned on the eyebrow of their left eyes, and they were looking with their right eye on that mountain, because they were so fearful, they were so terrified that that mountain will fall on them. That's why the Jewish people do not bow down except on the left side of their faces. Well, I'm sorry, I never see any Jewish people bowing down on the left side of their faces, but when they bow down, they actually prostrate before God with their face all the way down. But where did this story come from? Why did only Muhammad come up with these stories, but nobody else knows about it? Except I got a passage to read from you, and that is in the book of Exodus chapter 20 and verse 18. For there we read, now all the people witnessed the thundering, the lightning flashes, the sound of the trumpet, and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they trembled and stood afar off. That is the only place in the Bible we see mountains in relationship with the Jewish people. Yes, they were in fear and they stood far off as they saw the thunderings and the lightning flashes, and also as they heard the sound of the trumpet. But they were not bowing down, worshiping on the left side of their face, looking at that mountain by the right eyes, because no mountain was ever lifted above the children of Israel. This is simply a fabricated story, once again, by Muhammad in the Quran. Now let us examine the last two verses in Quran chapter 7, verses 189 and 190. For there we read, he is who created you from one soul and made from it its wife, that he might dwell in her. So when he covered her, she bore a light burden and went about with it. So when it became heavy, they called on Allah their Lord, if you give us Salih, that is a son's name, we will surely be of the thankful. So when he gave them Salih, they set up with him partners of what he had given them. So Allah is exalted above what they partnered. This story is about another fabrication by Muhammad in the Quran and his so-called Muslim scholars. For the interpreter said, when Eve became pregnant, Satan came to her in the appearance of a man, and he said to her, do you know what is in your belly? Perhaps it is some animals or a dog, and you do not know how it will come out of you. So Eve became so afraid, and he mentioned that to Adam. Then he came to her and he said, I came to you from Allah. So if you call on Allah and ask him to make to you a human like you and make it easy for him to come out of you, you should name him the slave of Al-Hars. And that was one of the names of Satan. Ibn Abbas said, Eve used to have babies for Adam, so they will name him the servant of Allah, or the servant of the merciful, or whatever good name fit with Allah. But all these boys died. So Satan came to them and he said, will I tell you about a secret that your child, when he's born, will live and will not die? So he said to them, when you have a son, do not name him by these names, but name him the servant of Harris, which once again, the name of Satan. So they had a son and they named him the servant of Harris, which means they named him after Satan. So he lived. And Muhammad said, when Eve became pregnant, Satan came around her because every time she had a son, he died. So Satan said to Eve, name him the servant of Harris. So she named him with that name, so he lived. And that was the revelation of Satan and his command. That's what Allah actually meant. As we read in the Quran, they set up with him partners of what he had given them. Meaning, now Adam and Eve are sinning against Allah by committing the sin of shirk, which actually worshiping Satan with Allah. Of course, we know this is a made-up comedy, as Muhammad always does in the Quran. For when we go to Genesis account, we know that Adam knew Eve, and she became pregnant, and she birthed him a son by the name Cain. Then she was pregnant again, and she had a second son, and she named him Abel. And we know that Cain killed his brother Abel, and afterwards she actually got pregnant again and she named her son Seth. We do not see anywhere in the Bible that she had any children who died because of whatever name Adam and Eve chose for their sons. Now, what is so amazing that Muslims believe that the sin of shirk, that is to worship anyone besides Allah, is unforgiving sin. And I'm amazed because all Muslims will tell you, we believe in Prophet Adam and he is one of the great prophets. How can Adam be a prophet when he was committing the unforgiven sin, the sin of shirk, that is to worship Satan along with Allah? And to continue our study of commentaries on the Quran, please join us again for the next broadcast. And until then, may the true God of the Bible continue to bless you and yours.
Perhaps the greatest fear that Muslims have is the constant insecurity that the Quran declares about heaven and hell. According to Islam, no one can know for sure if they will spend eternity with the Lord in heaven or suffering apart from him in hell. Even Muhammad said that he did not know if even he would make it to paradise. Did you know that the Bible says that you can know 100% for sure that your soul will be with the Lord after death? God knows that it would be impossible to live a life of joy and peace if a person was always in doubt about their soul. God wants you to be sure. In fact, Jesus had to come to this earth and die on the cross so that you could know that you had eternal life. You see, our problem is sin, which is rebellion against the God who created us and loves us. God is perfect and holy, and he cannot allow sin into his heaven. We must have our sins forgiven and removed, and that's why Jesus suffered and died on the cross, to pay the penalty for your sins and for mine. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, God can forgive you. He can save you, no matter who you are or what you have done. God has done everything necessary to save your soul. But now, the decision is up to you. Will you turn away from your sin and rebellion and trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Good works, church attendance, and baptism cannot get your soul to heaven, but Jesus can. The Bible says, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Why don't you call out to the Lord right now? Perhaps saying something like this. Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner and that I do deserve to be punished, but I believe that you sent Jesus to die for me, to pay the price for my sins. Right now, I turn away from my sin and I invite you to come and be my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Or perhaps you have further questions about Islam or Christianity? Why not take a moment right now and visit us online at www.thestraightway.org. That's www.thestraightway.org. May God bless you richly until we meet again right here on Revealing the Truth About Islam. This program has come to you by satellite on the VCY America Network. Please support the station which carries this program. Thank you.